Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents.
Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest.
Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Hey guys, sorry for the long delay on podcast. I've been working my ass off. I've got tour dates coming up. I will not be canceling any of my tour dates coming up this fall. I am preparing for an hour special that I will shoot in DC in November. For who? I won't tell you yet. Trip Flip every Wednesday nights. Our final episode is this week, and it is the funniest thing I've ever done in my entire life. Please, please watch it. It is Texas, and I promise you, you will get to see me. If you like my laugh, you will get to see my laugh ad nauseum because I do the dumbest thing I've ever done in my entire life and we caught it on film. Tour dates, go to burtburtburt.com. Go get a book, get a shirt, get a good thing, get a thumb thing. Subscribe and rate and review this podcast. Today's guest, this was taped live in Montreal. That is where I am right now. I'm getting ready to go out and see Jimmy Carr, who might be my favorite comic I've ever seen in my life. It was taped in Montreal in front of a live audience. My guests, Ari Shaffir and Duncan Trussell.
Mesdames et messieurs, bienvenue au Birdcast. Accueillez chaleureusement votre animateur, Bert Kreischer, et ses invités, Duncan Trussell et Ari Shaffir.
Wow, sold out crowd, right guys? My manager didn't even show up. Fuck this festival. The fuck? Where's my manager? I guess fucking Jeff Dunham's doing something tonight. Thank you guys for coming. This is a live Birdcast. I've never done a live Birdcast before. I've always found live podcasts to be annoying when you listen to them because it doesn't have that authenticity. You know what I mean? That's why I picked these two guys to be up here with me because my two best podcasts I've ever done are with the man directly to my right, Duncan Trussell, and the man past that, Ari Shaffir.
Thank you, sir.
Ari and I debated the fact of whether or not Barack Obama had served one or two terms.
If he was had been reelected or not.
Fucking
for like 20 minutes. We couldn't really know.
And we went back and forth.
No, because didn't he say that this next time he was going to do something?
Oh, my God.
I was like, I promise you, I remember voting for a black guy. I did it once. And Ari's like, and Duncan did my favorite podcast when I had an anxiety attack, and you did a guided meditation.
Oh, yeah. That was
calm
fun.
Down.
Those are my two favorites. So I feel like we should talk somewhat about the festival we're at. Are you guys having fun?
Yeah.
Montreal, yeah, so far. I've been here about a day.
Does it give you anxiety to make eye contact with people that you know have helped you in your career, but you don't know who they are?
Yeah, so much anxiety.
There's like two women that I know I've worked with, and every time I see them, I'm like, hey, and they're like, ah. I'm like, oh, no. I've thought this today. I was like, this festival is just fun when you're old enough to know everybody, but then you realize, oh, you're not young anymore, so you're fucking a has-been.
Oh.
That's so dark. I know. I'm looking around. I'm like, God, I know Jason Steinberg. And then I was like, he's doing a documentary on Patrice. I see Donnell. I see Neil. I see you guys. I'm like, oh, I know everyone. And then I was like, who are these young motherfuckers? They're the ones that are the future. I'm this fucking has-been on basic cable that just is walking around like,
Hold on. This is when you got to do the thing.
This is what I do.
Here's when you got to do the thing. Jesus. Or imagine if you talk to your kids the way you just talk to yourself. Like imagine if you were if you treated anybody else like the way you're treating yourself.
Like if I pulled Georgia and I said, see those fourth graders? They're the fucking future.
If I was around someone that wasn't you.
Yeah.
And they were talking about you. And they're like, yeah, you know that Bert Kreischer, that fucking has been. I'd be like, fuck you, man. He's awesome. He's not a has-been. Yeah. So
he was at the Montreal Comedy Festival this year.
Yeah.
It's the biggest comedy festival in North America.
He had a panic attack in an elevator because he thought he got stuck in it and started fucking asking people if they had Xanax. And then everyone's like, that rumor goes around.
Who said that?
I just me in my head in the shower today. I'm so fucking in my head. Don't you feel like that?
You should not stay at this hotel.
You got to start wearing a burka so they don't know.
I would fucking love a burka.
Me too.
Oh my. Do you know how awesome that you could just tap out for the fucking day and be like, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not who you think I am.
Yeah, and you don't have to drive.
You don't have to drive. They have it good. I know a lot of people say that the women over in the Middle East have a rough life. I don't see it that way.
You see it easy street.
I see easy street.
Burka all day,
burka,
every day.
You got fucking sodas and candy under your burka and you just eat. Someone's driving you around. Yeah. Of course, you can't say anything to anybody, but who cares? Your mouth's full of candy all day.
Also, they probably shaved your clitoris off. Don't forget that. Kind of sucks. It's true. They like to. They do that over there. Clitorectomies. That's a real thing. I don't know how popular it is, but hey, at least you got candy, right? Your clitoris looks like a tiny pepperoni thing. Wait. Just shaved down. Like an old bit of dried leather or something that used to be the most sensitive part of your body.
So wait, do you think, I mean, this is going to sound, okay, God damn it, if this was not live, I could just edit this out and say it and then go, if I didn't like it, I could just take it away.
You just say it anyway.
But do you think like, say like guys in the Taliban are generous lovers?
Some of them have to be.
Do you think they're like, I hope she's happy?
You know, it sounds like the premise for an awful romance book. Like
a rom-com?
Yeah, a rom-com about a soldier who falls in love with someone in the Taliban. And
yeah, I could see that. I'm a generous lover.
What does that mean?
Like, I want to make sure someone isn't hurry. I want to make sure that I give her an orgasm before anything starts for me. Because I'm pretty done pretty quick.
All right.
Wait, when you have one of your... One
if you're a really generous lover, you'd give her to someone who could fucking go not so quick.
I'm not that generous. Is there a child in here?
No way.
Oh, shit.
No, it's all right. He's cool. He's already been here.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. It's cool.
Never mind. All right.
By the end of the podcast, there'll be an old man sitting over there.
He's going to go home and Google clitoral removal.
Yeah, I just talked about clitorectomies in front of an 8-year-old. Great.
He's French-Canadian. He lost his virginity like 4 years ago.
Oh, my God.
We're taking this down a fucking spiral. So, Ari, when you have a one-night stand with a chick, do you care if she has an orgasm?
What? I don't know, man. I fuck to have fun. Like, you know, you fuck
sound like
a while.
George W. Bush in college. I just like to have fun, man.
Yeah. It happens. It's like a fucking touchdown. I'm only headed for that.
Wait, okay, let's start it from this side. Duncan.
Yes.
You have a new girlfriend.
Yes.
What?
When you have... Yeah.
Well, not new. You know, you've met her. But new. It's actually over a year now.
When you have sex with her, do you make sure she has an orgasm every time?
Absolutely, I do.
See?
Because I am a generous lover.
Oh, we lost the 8-year-old. We just walked a child.
He fainted.
We just walked a child. He's like, I don't even know what loving is. God, I apologize to whoever's child that was. Who bought him a ticket?
Yeah,
was he one of those? So, Ari, when you have sex with a chick, do you like...
Could have been a vampire.
Could have been. Maybe it was Benjamin Buttons. Do you... Like, walk me through it. So let's say you guys kiss a little bit. Are you like timed? If I can fuck, I'm fucking right away. Or are you like, well, let me go down on you?
Yeah, sure, of course.
You go down on strangers?
Sometimes.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
It just seems so intimate to do to a stranger.
I don't know, man. It's part of fucking.
Yeah?
It's just part of it.
You don't get worried about it, though? Like, sticking your face down there in a complete stranger's... oozing reproductive organ that you don't know her at all. Like, she could have done a gangbang earlier. Or anything could have been inside.
We're about to fuck.
It could be oozing with the semen of hundreds of men.
Jesus Christ, what a picture.
What a poem. Wait,
start the story over again. Let's do this. Let's take it to true creativity. Where did he meet her? She's got to be working at a coal mine in Chechnya.
something off, just off the boat.
She's taken. This woman does not speak English.
Right? No, for what? No way.
Oh, and I'm just saying, like, I always think sometimes, like, this is why my brain. I don't think I have a regular brain. I could turn my fucking phone off. But like, I don't. Not that I have a bad brain, but I have like this fucking thought thing where it's just like. We went to go do a show. I went to do a show. My wife came with me, and we got this girl, and the girl had a Russian accent, and she babysat my kids. And I was like, "She's gonna fucking steal my daughters and put them into sex slavery stuff."
What?
And I start thinking and obsessing about that. So I pull Georgia aside. I go, "Keep your phone on, okay? If any fucking guy comes over here, you fucking lock the door. You and your sisters, and you call me right away. We'll come home." And now my daughter's just sitting there like fucking. What the fuck? Guys are coming over? And I was like, listen, doesn't matter. But that's where my brain goes. I think it's like catastrophe thinking. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how we got on this fucking subject. But do you guys have that catastrophe thinking?
Yeah, once in a while.
Yeah, man. I get the Forensic Files narrator in my head where, you know, you start hearing that. No matter what I'm doing, as innocuous as a thing as it might seem, like even like going hiking, I'll fabricate the most horrific results of the most innocent activities. Like, because
yes.
I live near Griffith Park and I know there's a mountain lion up there.
Dude, so
getting attacked.
I cannot go on hikes anymore in fucking LA on the coolest places because I know there's fucking mountain lions.
Yeah. And you just think, well, yeah, I'm biking up there and you just imagine what that would be like.
You're gonna claw your eyeball out.
Or just the initial feeling of like, wait, what? Something just jumped on me and it's hissing and like, and you get this last second of like, wait, it's killing me. A cat is eating me.
I jump when the elevator doors open and there's someone standing right there. I go, like, I can't imagine a fucking wild beast grabbing onto my back. Have you ever been to a fight with a house cat?
Right.
House cats will fuck you up.
Yeah.
Like, if you try to take a house cat and put it in, like, one of those little cages to take to the vet and it doesn't want to go, you are fucking in pain. Can you imagine that, but, like, 80 pounds more?
With, like, its back legs just, like, digging into your stomach. So it's, like, ripping your stomach open, coils of intestine flying out.
Stuff it. You think you can walk for a while with the stuffed in?
Yeah, well, you don't. It's too late by then. I mean, you're looking over at your overturned bike and you're thinking, I've got a girlfriend. I have a life. But now this is how I died. Ripped open by a cat in a park near my house. Yeah, that's what my mind does for sure. It's scary, but that's just one level of life. You're supposed to be able to tune into other frequencies besides that. That's the hell realm.
I think I live in that frequency. I told you guys I fell off a waterfall and I landed on my back and I thought I fucking broke my spine, ruptured my kidneys. I was bad. I had to crawl out of a ravine on my hands and knees, and I just thought to myself, that's how quick it ends. Like, that's right. Life. Sometimes life just you go to move a GoPro and you're dead forever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For fucking ever.
Well, you don't know forever.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
This building blew up in New York while I was gone.
What?
Two buildings.
And like the one in Middle Brooklyn?
East Village. No, East Village. Oh. They just blew up. Some guy tried to like siphon off gas and do it illegally or whatever. But just some big people in their homes. Everybody lost their home. Two guys died.
Ooh, I got a good
Not
one.
Not even something they did. Go ahead, what?
This just happened. Remember the 4th of July? This kid who, he played a character at Disneyland. He's like this kind of handsome kid. And they were shooting off fireworks, and he decided to shoot one of those big fireworks off of the top of his head.
Oh.
And he blew his head up. Like, he just blew it. It blew his, to the point where in the article they said his friend was like, yeah, we didn't even hurry to call 911 because... you know, his head was gone, so there wasn't anything we could do. But that's
Jesus.
But if you think about that, because I can connect to that kid. Like, I can connect to being drunk.
Let's try this.
There's
Let's
fireworks.
This.
Guys, look at this. Oh. You're in this glorious, like, you're having a great 4th of July. Your girlfriend's watching. Hey, watch this, honey. I'm so funny. I hope you love me more because I'm daring. And you light the fuse, and there's like a millisecond before. obsidian, infinity, nothingness.
Just silence.
Yeah, just gone.
That, like that.
Yeah.
And then you're just sitting in heaven's waiting room going, what happened?
Yeah. That's
like,
right.
The thing hit me?
How come I can see my eyes and lips? What are they doing on the ground? That's fucked.
Isn't that fucked up?
Dude, I think I've died a million times. I have this theory on life that I've died a million deaths, and and you die, and then that's a parallel universe. That's someone else's world. But then you keep living. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, because I've had done so much shit where I go, oh, that probably killed me. But then in that universe, like I remember one time,
choose your own adventure. Everything's a choose your own adventure. You just keep going back.
Yeah, you just keep. Right. And in that universe, I'm dead. That's Erica Youngblood's universe. I died at spring break in college because I decided on the fucking 12th floor to go fucking over the balcony and around the corner to get into my room. Like over the balcony and then grab onto the other thing and climb over. And I just fucking drunk as shit. And I guarantee you, I died in that universe. I know that's fucking not making any sense, but like. Like, I heard a story. Can I tell you what freaks me out? I heard a story that when we were in Australia, and they were talking about how many Germans die in Australia. Germans die all the fucking time in Australia.
Why?
Because they're dumb, I guess. Like, they just... that's a real answer. So, like, every warning in Australia is written in English and just in German also. Like, hey, don't do this, Zieg, or whatever, you know. So they were saying these fucking, I mean, shit like this. Getting eaten by crocodiles is so goddamn scary. Like, I think about getting eaten by crocodiles a lot. And they said one time they were all sitting on this fucking dock, and there was a bunch of people. I think guy was telling us that he was there, and he was with this girl. She wasn't German. She was Australian. And they're sitting on the dock, and a fucking crocodile just snatched her off the dock and took her away. Can you imagine? Like, what do you do in that situation? Are you like, so... Does anyone want to drive her car home? Like, what the fuck? Like, that idea that you just disappear like
imagine
that.
Imagine that. You can't go after her.
No. It's
done.
You don't know her that well.
Dude, we did. We did some stuff with crocodiles. And all I said to my crew when we did anything, we were supposed to do this one thing, paddleboarding down a river in Tanzania. And it's filled with crocodiles and hippos. And I was like, listen, all I ask, don't let the crocodile take me back to his den for like a week. Like, I don't want my dead body in a crocodile's den, like just fucking hanging out.
Nibbling out.
I was like, go in and get my body. Like, get it the fuck out of there.
They're going to get your body, Bert.
No, but I want it like immediately.
Well, I mean, isn't that general? Like, who's going to be like, let's wait till next week?
No, they'd leave it. They'd leave it. He's gone. I saw the torso.
They leave it. No one goes looking for a fucking 13-foot crocodile. They're like, well, there goes Bert.
Right.
See if Adam Richman can host his show. That's the crazy thing is that fucking television crews. I'm saying this coverall because I've been hurt on productions.
Be back at work the next day with some other guy.
They don't give a fuck.
What?
They don't give a fuck. My crew, I'll say this. The crew I'm working with right now on Travel Channel, I believe they give a fuck.
They pray for your death.
And the one on Trip Flip. But let me tell you something. This is going to get fucking... Well, on Hurt Burt, I got mauled by a bull. And, like, full fucking bull. Real size bull. If you go online, you can see the video. It's like a fucking one-ton bull. Fucking breaks my ribs, breaks my foot. And what they did is just let the bull out of the ring, and it ran around, and then just came at me. I was dressed as a clown, and broke my rib, broke my foot. And then... I ran out of the ring and I got on the ground. And then everyone's like filming me in pain. They're just watching you. What's going on? And I'm like, I can't fucking breathe. And they're like, you've cracked some ribs. And they're filming it. And then the producer says to me, all right, we need you to get back in there. I go, what? And he goes, it's only like 8 seconds of video. That's not going to make the show. You need to get back in there. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And he was like, Tim Scott's his name. I had him on my podcast. He goes, yeah, it's 8 seconds. I can't make a show out of 8 seconds. Get back in there. And I was like, I'm not fucking doing that again. And he goes, then get in the barrel or something. So I got in a fucking barrel, and the bull just knocked the barrel around. I'm in there with a broken foot and broken ribs. Just
holy
thinking,
shit.
Thinking, this isn't about talent. Like, I don't have any fucking talent. You don't see talent right now. Like, I'm just a fucking punching bag.
You're like a gladiator. You're like a gladiator's slave.
When I fell off the fucking waterfall, my buddy Paul, who's like one of my best friends, he shot it. He saw me fall. And then he's like, are you okay? I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, everyone keep shooting. And I'm sitting there going, I think I'm dying. And they just kept shooting the show. I crawled out of a ravine on my hands and knees by myself and got up to the trailhead. Here's what's even crazy. You want to hear something really fucked up? Is I'm up at the trailhead. I'm up at the trailhead and I'm more pain than I've ever been in my entire life, ever, ever, ever. I think I've shattered my spine. I think I've broken some ribs, ruptured a kidney. And this girl, fucking these hikers come by, and this girl does this. Like, she just, like, sees me sitting on the ground in pain, crying, and she just starts videotaping me.
What?
Like this.
Wow.
And I saw it, and I didn't know what to say. And I was like, why is she doing this? And then I watch her go, who is he? And one of my camera guys, he's Burr Kreischer's comedian. He's got a show on Travel Channel. She goes, oh. And she goes over to my other cameraman and goes, hey, I'm a big fan. Can I get a picture with him? I saw all this so fucking weird. Happen, and it was so surreal. I don't know if it's because you're hurt and you're more sensitive to that shit, but like, I just was like, motherfucker. And then my whole camera. And then, you know, here's the crazy thing is that I shit on the crews for rolling the whole time. Yeah. You don't want them not rolling. You want to capture all that shit because people want to see it. Like when I showed you my testicle in.
Yeah. Wait, let's explain it. Well, no, it was actually really cool, man. I thought it was cool that you did that because it was just he didn't think about it at all. He's like, look, Duncan, I want to show you something because he knows I had one of my balls cut off from cancer and I guess you associate me as being some kind of ball expert. But she's like, here, take a look. And I'm like, is that your balls? He's like, yeah. But there's some awful protrusion coming out of the top.
Horrible.
Terrible. Like, I've never seen that. I don't know what that is.
So I had that and then I was like, I need to go to the hospital.
Where'd you get that from? The waterfall?
I was doing Birth Conqueror, and I fell off a slide in Action Park, New Jersey. I fell off a slide into the water 15 feet and landed on the nut. Like, like took it to the ball, and it fucking just exploded. And so, but here's the crazy thing. So I get that. I panic in my head because I'm like, I'm going to fucking – something's wrong with my nut. And I mean, it looks – if I show you the picture, you'll be like, it's bad. And so I tell my camera guys, just roll on all of it. I got to have the guy, medic, come look at me, roll on all of it. And in a weird way, it's like I'm like now thinking two thoughts. One, this is going to be fucking funny as shit. And two, I may lose my testicle. And that's why I'm like kind of playing the fence on like, am I happy about this? Am I sad about this? You know what I mean? It's like you ever go to a funeral as a comic and you're like, I'm really sad, but I should write a joke about this.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Can I tell you a quick funeral story like that? I remember when I was living in North Carolina, I was dating this girl and her ex-boyfriend. I went to community college before I went to college, and her ex-boyfriend went to the community college, and he was like this hardcore redneck, and he would always like glare at me in the most evil way. And so one day she came up to me and she's crying and that guy had died. And because this kid he'd bullied for like 8 years straight, apparently, stabbed him in the back. And like he'd just been torturing this kid for 8 years and the kid stabbed him stabs him in the back in the kidney and he dies. So she's like, will you please come with me to his funeral?
Oh.
Now, this guy's been staring at me for like months like he wants to kill me. Like I walk by him, he looks at me with just like pure violent anger in his eyes, right? So I'm like, yeah, I'll go to the funeral with you. But that was a real bit of cognitive dissonance because you're sitting in a funeral. It's an open casket funeral. And this guy who was formerly a fucking asshole, who's your girlfriend's ex-boyfriend, is now just a mannequin, and even though it's incredibly sad, there's an unavoidable part of your mind that's like, ha ha. You don't want it to be there. You're not fat. You're not making that happen. It's happening before you can stop it. You know, like, well, look who's in the coffin. Oops. Oh, dear.
I like that you said cognitive. I'm in therapy for the first time. And I'm talking to my therapist about cognitive epiphanies versus emotional epiphanies. So I'm trying to make this more – I feel like I'm just talking at you guys right now. But I will try to – have you ever had an emotional epiphany, a moment where you go, oh, fuck, this is what it's all about, where you're like, oh, I'm alive. This is beautiful. This is fucking like – I had an emotional epiphany when I skydived for the first time and the chute opened. Right. That's an emotional epiphany. And my problem, before I get to your emotional epiphanies, is that emotional epiphanies are supposed to be met with cognitive epiphanies where you also figure the fucking shit out. My problem is I'm in a job where I get emotional epiphanies make 4 or 5 times a week, and I'm like, and it's causing like PTSD because all I know how to do is respond with this like fuck like energy. So everything's like a month, and if nothing's like that, then I'm like, what the fuck is this about? Like dropping off my kids. I'm like, what are you fucking, this is it? Like, where are the balloons and the fucking, this parade? When was the last emotional epiphany you had, Ari?
I don't know, man. I had a good time in places.
Like, okay, when you were in Switzerland, did you ever have a moment that you stopped and you went,
Yeah. When I'm skiing down in Zermatt, and the fucking you go around, and the whole little fucking village opens up in front of you, and it's just like miles of just white. That's pretty cool. You're like, wow, this looks cool.
Yeah,
it was like cool to be out there.
I knew you had.
And you're
one
right
there.
By the Matterhorn.
Yeah,
like I'm skiing right by it.
And did you think to yourself, I thought
wolves were gonna come when you go down those little roads where no one is, and you're like, I haven't seen another skier for a while. And then I'm like, I'm being tracked.
They track
you for a while.
Did you have the moment, the cognitive epiphany in that is, did you stop and go, oh yeah, this is that same little Hasidic Jewish boy that like grew up with yarmulkes on and now I'm here and I've made it. My life has taken me here. Did you have that?
No, not that.
Have you ever done cocaine? Like,
a couple times.
That's a cognitive epiphany.
Ugh, I hate that shit.
When you look in the mirror and you see yourself in the mirror about to snort cocaine and you look at yourself and you're like, I'm a fucking dirtbag.
I did that before I hooked up with this chick who I was really not attracted to. And it was like, I just found myself at her apartment and it was like, oh, nobody else is coming? All right, weird. And then it was just late, very drunk, and we were like kissed for a second. I went to the bathroom. I looked at myself like, you're going to do this, huh? You know it's because you're drunk. It was like and it was like, yeah, but I don't know, whatever. Who cares? And I went in there, and it was gross. It was so gross. But I had the full conversation with myself.
Yeah.
Like, don't kid yourself later.
I love guys who can disconnect from that.
Here, you want to hear something creepy? Can I tell you something spooky?
Yeah.
Here's what's spooky. So there's all this research being done to try to figure out when a decision is made.
Yeah.
And it appears that decisions are made. We think we've made the decision a few seconds after the decision has already been made. Oh, and so some people say that our idea of autonomy, or that we're making these decisions, is just a desperate attempt that our minds are doing to keep us away from the truth of the matter, which is we're just these sort of predestined, non-autonomous
synapses,
biocomputers that are just being driven by mechanisms that we don't understand. And so our mind sort of is like, first the decision is made, and then our mind pretends it made the decision. Very similar to, like, I don't know if you got one of those steering wheels for your kid where you put it in the passenger seat and they can pretend they're driving the car.
Yeah.
It's like that. Like, our minds are giving us the illusion that we're driving the car, but the reality is, and this is where it gets really fucking weird, the reality is some people theorize that the flora growing inside our stomachs is what's controlling us, that it's actually the colonies of bacteria living inside of us. And that we're being controlled by hives of bacteria that are just leading us in weird directions, which is why, and forgive me because this is a little vulgar, when
we talked about clitorilated.
But now let's talk about shit transplants. This is why it's a real thing. They will give people with severe stomach disorders, they'll put someone else's poop inside of them. It will recolonize their stomach with new bacteria, and they'll get healthier. Their lives will change. Their eating choices will change. And it just turns out they were puppets to some evil hive of bacteria living inside their stomach that made them love Doritos. They didn't like Doritos. The bacteria did.
I have a visual. Do you remember the cavity creep when we were kids?
Yeah.
I have a visual of the cavity creep living inside me going, I'll tell this motherfucker what to do.
Yeah. It's like that. Like, we're not at the wheel. So, like, when you're in there looking in the mirror, thinking you're making a decision. You're not making a decision. It's already been made. Since the beginning of time, your penis was going in the direction of that woman's vagina from the moment the Big Bang happened, and you're just pretending that you had some
decision. We didn't even do it. Oh. She gave me half a blowjob and then turned over and go,
half a blowjob?
Yeah, half blowjob.
Suck it from this side?
She gave me till I was close, and she's like, I'm not finishing. Go for it. And I was like, oh, you son of a bitch. Let's play.
So she got you to climax, and was like, I'm out.
Yeah. Then she like, so I went down on her for a while, and then she like finished. The point is I didn't have sex with her, but the greater point is the stuff about the decisions people make.
Yeah. It's a strange thing. Like, all your neurological activity is just some secondary response to something.
You fucked me up now, because I keep wondering if I'm about to reach for that beer, and has that decision already been
already made?
It's already been made, Bert.
I'm feeling the muscles inside my hand not do anything, and I'm looking at it going, I haven't decided yet. But like, I'm fucking, this is what gives me anxiety. Just sitting there going, I haven't decided yet. I have decided. Like, it's so fucking weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about all the other things in your body. Think about all the stuff in your body that you don't control at all. And you're totally comfortable with it.
Toenails.
Yeah. Toenails, heart, liver, all digestion. You don't think about digestion, it just happens. So like, when you really look at the way balancing, while you don't think about walking, you don't think about talking, you don't think about language, you don't think about processing photons through your eyes or translating sound waves into language. None of this is, you're not doing any of this. It's all happening automatically outside of your control. So if you start analyzing that stuff, where do you really think you have control? You're an organism made up of things that you have no control over, and somehow you think somewhere in there you're driving the car. It's just curious. Like, are you driving the car? Who's the driver? Who's the one making the decisions?
I'm so glad I'm not as high as Ari right now. I would fucking lose my mind. I remember when in ninth grade, we all got high, and I tried to figure out who did the breathing, me or my body. And I fucking spun into a hate spiral. And I was just going,
I try to keep your breathing.
Fucking wish I could have turned that buzz off. I remember I was at Cayman's house, and I went and I jacked off in their bathroom to think that would turn the buzz around. Didn't.
Really?
It was bad, man. And I think now that
sink
I
toilet,
know this,
sink a toilet.
Now that it's a toilet, it's so funny. I was at his house recently for like something really sad, but I was at my buddy's house, and I saw the same bathroom, and it hadn't changed. And I went, last time I was in there, I jerked off. It's amazing how those little things, nuggets, like okay. Now that I know myself better, I know it's panic. Like panic, it was a panic attack that couldn't shut off, that was accentuated by the marijuana.
That's right.
I mean, I don't think it was marijuana. It did it to me. Marijuana does give me, makes me overthink situations. Like, I could never do those. Remember those Ice House Chronicles?
Yeah.
I used to go do those, and everyone would get fucking blitzed, and I'd just be like, everyone thinks I'm fucking not talking, or I'm talking. And I just would, I'd be like, fucking, then I just, all right, time to get fucking drunk. That's the guy I know. But I remember ninth grade being twice happens at Blake's house, happened at Cayman's house, and I was like, I'll never smoke marijuana again. And then that didn't happen. So
there's that danger zone where you think you got to leave or something. That's too much. And you just got to sit there for like 30 minutes and get over it, and then you're fine. You can enjoy yourself after that.
Did you smoke pot when you were a kid in North Carolina?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
Yeah, when I was, well, I mean, kid is in high school.
Yeah, but how old?
I think I was 15 the first time I smoked marijuana.
Damn.
Probably. Yeah, it was great, man. It was so great. It was such a cool experience to have. Because when you're, you know, when you're an adult, it's easier to get freaked out. Well, I got freaked out when I was a kid too, but there's something so, when you're a kid, you're taken care of mostly. And so there's this innocence to getting high. But it was really cool. I remember it was just really wonderful. The first time I didn't get high, and then the second time, I just had the classic stereotypical marijuana trip, which is I laugh so hard with my friend. We just laugh for like hours. Everything seems so funny. It was great. I'm so glad that I did that. I
did it stunt your growth?
What?
Did it stunt your growth? How tall are you?
I'm 5'9". I mean, I don't know. I think I'm an average size. I'm not yours. You think I could have been like 6-something?
Maybe. Maybe you could have been 6.
Wow, what a dream. God, why did I smoke pot?
They would, if they did put that out there too. In the disinformation, if they're like, no, your brain's going to be fine, but you will stay the height you are when you smoke it. Everyone would be like, fuck that. Ninth graders would be like, I'm waiting until a senior at least. The cool thing about when we did drugs when we were kids is that you could tap out. You could get off the grid. You could really disappear, go do mushrooms, go down a river.
Go to the woods somewhere.
And disappear. Kids can't do that now. They all got cell phones. You're all tethered. Like, and I think you introduced me to the tethering concept. But like, you're tethered. And we did try to do mushrooms. It was right when I had kids.
You got to turn your cell phones off.
I was with Pete Corielli. Maybe I shouldn't say his name. And so, and we were in Dallas, and someone gave Pete mushrooms, and we all did. I think we all did them, and then we all did a show that night. We had to do 3 shows on a Saturday. We didn't know we had a 3rd show, and we were all fucking tripping our balls off. We're like, "This is a bad idea." And then I realized, oh, I'm a fucking dad. Like, I can't just do this, because if I break something in this brain, then those kids got to fend for themselves. I go, this isn't fair to anybody. And I started freaking the fuck out. And I was like, and I got my phone. I go, what if my phone rings with my wife? I go, that's not fucking – I'm like, Bert, you made a big fucking mistake.
Oh.
This is probably 10 years ago. And I told Pete, I go, I can't do this. And he's like, dude, let's go over to the piano bar. We'll give the guy $100 and play Billy Joel. We'll have a great time. And I was like, okay, I can do that. So – we ended up going to the piano bar across from the Addison Improv and just drinking my face off.
Like, on mushrooms?
But I never did a ton. I never was the guy that was like, I'm seeing Christ tonight. I was always the guy like, I just want to be able to talk to a tree for a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I had a great conversation with a tree on mushrooms in college. There was this tree outside PJ Guzmano and Chad Callahan's house. And I used to go to their house all the time. We used to play basketball in their front yard. And I saw this tree every fucking day. Then one night we all did mushrooms. And I looked at the tree and I realized it had a vagina and a clitoris. It was like, you know when a tree has like a little opening and there's a little knob. And I went, hey man. I go, you're a woman? And I started talking to the tree and like and I could feel it breathing. And I was like, oh, this is fucking badass. And I had the greatest conversation with this tree. My buddy Ben Seabrook's like, I think you're wrapped. Let's go home. I was like, but
see that buddy thing that you just talked about? That's not a buddy. That's Satan. That's a fucking monster. You're having an actual spiritual experience, something that people have been talking about for thousands and thousands of years. Yeah. The concept that all trees have their own spirit. They're animated with some spirit. You're communing with nature, and you have some dopish friend who's like, okay, dude, chill out, man. Let's go watch TV. It's the worst, man. This is the sad thing to me about the – not to get heavy and goddamn didactic, but the sad thing to me about the war on drugs and the prohibition on psychedelics is that moments like that used to be celebrated. Those were the emotional epiphanies that you would have as a kid with your family who would take mushrooms sacramentally so that you could connect with nature and it wasn't crazy or weird. You weren't breaking the law. But when you're like, shit, I think I can talk to this tree, you'd be with someone who's like, oh, yeah, her name's Amanda. She's alive. And you would learn from that. But these days, man, it's like I just saw this – I saw a video on YouTube where this kid smokes salvia. And it's one of the mini salvia videos on YouTube. It's like a genre. And the kid smokes salvia. He's around his friends. He comes out of the salvia trip. And he's like, you guys, I felt like we were eternally connected and that we've been together forever. That we've all been together forever. And his friend punches him in the arm and goes, shut up, faggot. It's like the kid's having like a moment of enlightenment. Like imagine if like when the Buddha was about to get enlightened, one of his friends is like, shut up, fag. There would be no Buddhism. Like a world religion might have been destroyed at that moment. That could have been.
Jesus. That's fucking awesome. Ari, didn't you smoke salvia on...
On, yeah, I loved it.
On YouTube?
Yeah.
Is that when you like, you kind of like...
I was gone. I was gone for like 6 months.
What?
I was just gone. I was somewhere else. I was living underwater.
On
like
Salvia?
A while, yeah. I had a life out there. I had friends.
Have you ever done DMT?
Yeah, once. I didn't quite get there.
Really?
Yeah, I'll probably do it again this next week.
The smoke's harsh. It's hard to get there. You got to take... The problem with DMT is the smoke's very harsh. So if you're going to get to that place he's talking about...
I got one of those crack pipes.
You got to get a crack pipe, which is weird. Like, you have to smoke it out of, like, a glass pipe. So you get to go to, like, a really fun place to get that. And there's no way to buy one of those pipes.
Oh, no, they're all over New York.
Yeah. Well, they used to sell them at 7-Elevens. Did you know that? Remember at 7-Eleven, like, I don't know if you ever wondered why there was that weird glass tube with a fake rose in it. Have you ever seen a...
Yeah.
Those are crack pipes, but they can't sell crack pipes. So they shove a fake rose in one of those glass things. Because, like, really think about it, man. Who, when they're getting gas, is like, oh, yes, and I'll take this lovely fake rose in the glass tube.
That is a good point.
Honey, I got you something.
What is it?
Fake, shitty carnation in a glass tube.
I'll put it with the collection.
Yeah, there's no demand for that.
I found another one of your teeth last night.
Yeah.
One of your teeth last night?
Such a loving husband. Why is this happening to you?
Wait. Have you done DMT?
Yeah, I've smoked DMT.
What's it like?
Well, it's I think it's different for a lot of people who do it, but it is the best way to explain it. Man, I mean, it sounds crazy, but for probably, I don't know, like 9 or 10 years before I smoked DMT, I had a consistent pain right here. Went to the doctor about it, chest x-rays. And it sucked. It just hurt all the time. And it was like really annoying. And I didn't know what it was. It was perplexing. I'm a hypochondriac kind of. So I'm always like, well, just another, probably just some other thing that's going to kill you eventually. So I smoked DMT. I close my eyes as I'm smoking it. And I experience the weirdest thing ever, which is these tiny microtubules have emerged out of the nothingness. Connected with that spot in my chest, there is some kind of presence, or it's not like you're hearing a voice, but something's definitely talking to you, and it's saying, just accept this, just accept this. It feels like love is pumping into me through these weird tubules, and ever since then, that is gone. Just fucking gone. So what the fuck that was, I don't know. But the person who I smoked it with, who's like, goes and hangs out in South America, I mentioned those tubules. And he said something like, oh, yes, we call those like the little doctors. Like there's a fucking name. So there's a name for microtubules that emerge and go into your body in the DMT realm. It's that detailed an experience. So I don't know. I mean, I know it sounds weird. I'm a skeptic. So I think, well, clearly whatever was happening there was some kind of anxiety disorder. It wasn't a physical disorder. I don't believe that my physical body was healed, but there was obviously some kind of like, I had Dr. Drew on my podcast and told him about the pain in my chest. He's like, oh, yeah, there's a name for that. It's an anxiety-related thing.
Oh, that's so, what I got then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that. I got that happening.
Yeah.
I wonder if DMT works for plantar fasciitis.
I don't
know. Tubulars. Plantar fasciitis, I was telling Ari, is the worst fucking
What is that?
World. It's like heel spurs, but it's basically you're just too fat to have feet. Your feet aren't meant to fucking deal with people that fast. My feet take a beating, man. You don't realize how much you use them. You use them a lot.
It's like sitting on a house of cards.
Yeah, exactly. And feel like you're walking on knives, and it just is so painful. You wake up in the morning, you're like, ow, ow, ow. Like, literally, I had mornings where I'd get on my knees and drag myself on a pillow to go to the bathroom.
Can you get it fixed?
I went and got Rolfed for it. Like...
But you have bone spurs. You're saying that parts of your bone are...
You can get a heel spur. Ultimately, it's the... I think... You know, it's so funny. I've had them for so long, and I've done so much research, but I don't really know. I got Rolfed, and so they go in, and they just break up all the fascia with their knuckle. It was the most... I remember when I got Rolfed, it was in West Hollywood, and there was a sign above it that said, drink in the white pain. And I
and the
oh,
white
Jesus.
Pain.
And I just and it was and it's searing white lightning pain. When he got in there with his knuckle, you're talking about something that if you rubbed on me, I'd be like, ow. He got in with his knuckle and just and I was like, oh. He was like, you can scream. I'm literally in this guy's room going, oh fuck. And I mean, in West Hollywood, I'm sure everyone's like, well, I wonder what's going on there. And so and then you get done and your feet feel good. Like he gets done, you can walk. It didn't really cure it per se. But honestly, just better arch support helps a lot. And staying off your feet. If you just stay off your fucking feet. It's hard to stay off your feet these days.
Implants.
Probably hard. Implants?
Yeah. Like Game of Thrones. Gold. Gold foot. Try that.
You don't have any. What are your ailments, Ari? Other than your eyes?
Oh yeah, my eyes.
You should have done that fucking ride with me.
Oh yeah, that would have been cool. I would have done it,
dude.
The free fall,
epiphanous moment. I fucking sobbed, crying. Did a 415-foot free fall in Jersey. It's this ride called Zumanjaro, and we did it for the other Travel Channel show I'm doing, Birth Conquer.
It keeps going up though. It takes you down, then goes back up.
No. This is one straight drop. Oh. It takes you up 415 feet. It's 40 seconds.
It's so long to go up.
So
and you don't know. You can't see where the top is. You have no idea if you're there yet or not. You're like, this seems high enough.
10-second free fall. Fucking
wow.
I got down. Now, mind you, I was in the hospital the night before, like for my testicle.
Who'd you go with? Which comics you go with?
I couldn't find anyone. Any comics?
Oh, damn.
I called Nikki Glazer, and she's like, "Awesome, text my agent." So I call her agent, and she's like, "He's like, Nikki's gonna pass." I was like, oh, "Fuck! Why did Nikki just tell me that? I'm gonna waste the time." And then Ari was supposed to go, but his eyes had just got LASIKs, and so he couldn't do it with me because the doctor said it's probably unadvisable.
Thanks for not calling me, Bert.
It's in New York. It was in New York.
Oh.
Yeah, and so I had to find someone from New York, and my repertoire of comics in New York was light. So I did it with just some girl, and I thought maybe like her hair would be cool.
What do you mean, from the park?
Yeah, I just found
you
some
just
girl.
Just grabbed somebody's daughter?
I grabbed someone's daughter. She was 14.
Come with me.
And I was like, hey, you want to ride around with me? She's like, yeah. So we put her next to me, and I thought maybe we'd have like a moment where we connected. Oh, I was by myself. As soon as we free-falled, all the shit, it was like an emotional salad bowl from my day before at the hospital. It just dumped out. I started sobbing, crying.
No way.
And everyone else is like looking at me like I'm fucking weird. And I got embarrassed because I was crying and I couldn't stop. So I like fucking went around and camera crews are following you. They're like, what's going on? What's going on? I'm like, I don't fucking know. I don't fucking know. It's one of the coolest things I've ever done. I loved it. I love free fall though. I love losing your stomach and dropping. There's nothing like it.
Dude, I had to tap out. We went with a bunch of comics last year to Six Flags.
Yeah?
And I had to, at some point I'm like, I'm nauseous. I got to skip this round. You guys
go
that
way.
Lewis and Dave and Jay and a bunch like 30
comics. What
ride
did Jay fit on?
I know he takes up a lot of.
Yeah,
the
no, because
area.
I'm like pushing maximum density on rides.
Really?
Yeah, like I'm just fat enough to like.
I don't know. Maybe Jay didn't go. Maybe it's just Dave and Lewis.
I'm sure Jay didn't go.
Yeah, maybe Jay didn't.
Because I actually thought about calling Jay to do the ride with me.
Yeah,
and I called the park and they're like, "How much do you weigh?" I was like, "Well, like 250."
I think it was like 450.
He was probably 40. He's not getting on a ride at 450.
He's 280.
He's 280 right now?
Yeah.
He probably could have gotten on. They probably could have fit him on this ride. It was pretty good. But, yeah, it was fucking – it was an epiphanous moment.
That was an epiphanous – you can't just say anything cool is an epiphanous moment.
I do.
What do you mean? What did you change your life? What did you realize about yourself?
They're my epiphanies.
What do you mean?
I've just lowered the bar for epiphanies. They're my epiphanies. I had an epiphanous moment driving my car the other day, listening to Jane's Addiction.
And what, you realize you needed gas and you pulled over and got gas? Is that your epiphanous moment? Were you just talking about moments?
It's just beautiful. I knew you had one in Switzerland because I have one in Switzerland because there's no way not to see the Alps and go,
oh, yeah, or you
holy
see the lake and you're like, oh, it's so cool. Yeah, but.
Yeah.
You don't realize anything about yourself. That's not about yourself.
What's
that's
epiphany?
Just cool.
It's an emotional. It's an emotional epiphany.
You're
an emotional epiphany.
That's what I hear.
Not cognitive, just emotional epiphany. I wish we didn't have to do stand up at this fucking festival.
Oh, right.
Like,
yeah.
Just hang out.
I just wish you could hang out. I just want to drink all night long.
Manishana alayla hazeh.
What is that?
What the fuck was that?
You can't just break into Candarian in the middle of this fucking thing. You can't start talking in the language of Mordor all of a sudden. Dolophnia Nutzidang. Twin Peaks speak there, like the little midget who spoke backwards.
Was that Hebrew?
Yeah, that's Passover. On Passover, the youngest of anyone at the table, the youngest of anyone who can make sense, like over, like they can talk, sings a song. Manishana halayla hazeh, mikol halelot. Mikol halelot.
Just at any time during dinner?
No, not any time, at a specific moment. And it's because you just said that about the beer, like you might get drunk tonight, you want to get drunk. The words mean, why is this night different than any other night?
Is that what the song means?
Yeah.
Why exactly. Is this night different than any other night?
Yeah, and then you say,
Dad's getting drunk. Mom birthed the matzah. Sister's working on math, and I'm going to be off. Why is this night different than any other night?
Yeah, they just say, they let us know. You know, on normal days we don't eat, I don't know, sour stuff, and today we do. Normally we don't lean, and then on Passover we do.
You don't lean?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a sign of freedom for Jews if you lean while you eat.
What?
Yeah, on Passover you're supposed to lean, wait, like you're free. That was wait, what the Egyptians
the
were doing to the
like
Jews.
This?
Only free people, bro.
It feels like you're not free if you gotta lean.
You don't gotta. That's all you want to do. When you're truly free, you'll understand. Oh, okay. I get you resisting. That's all you want to do. Just lean. And the Egyptians wouldn't let us. So
yeah, Egyptians would. Ahmed said no.
Ahmed said no.
Don't lean.
Oh, come on. Oh, they're not looking. I gotta lean.
Dude, I wouldn't mind being one of those Amsterdam Jews. That get their fucking hot ass wife. Have you seen this though? Like in the Hasidic communities in LA, it's like arranged marriages. Is that right?
What?
No?
What? Is that? Yes, or
like, and they get fucking tens. You see a weird
all
guy.
Right, no, now you're. That's not no
ten that's, with a wig on. I can't really tell what her real hair looks, but everyone looks hot with a wig on.
Yeah. People tarnish the name of ten.
Oh.
Just throw it out with anyone who's attractive.
Okay.
Relax, bro. Ten means fucking unbelievable.
Okay. Who's
there's it? No Jews in the Orthodox community in Amsterdam that are that.
We wanted to pitch a show at one time called what the fuck is the name of the show? I forget the name. Oh, What You Deserve. So it would be someone's going to steal this idea because it really is a good idea. So Ari would come out. And yeah. This whole audience, I'd be the host. I go, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ari Shaffir. And then you guys would all have a number puncher on the thing, scale 1 to 10. And you'd rate him on scale 1 to 10. So then he'd go, all right, Ari, according to the audience, they have deemed you a 6. They have also previously screened 50 women, and these are the 6s that they've approved for you. And so you'd get a list of 6s, and you get to pick one of the 6s, and you can pick a 10 and you go on a date with a 6 and a 10, but the 6 you get to go to Italy, the 10 you got to go to Branson, Missouri.
Oh.
And you know what you should have in backstage?
Yeah.
A room with like cameras hidden in it that has just a noose so you can film
whenever you want to get out
hanging themselves.
Whenever you just like don't want to do anymore, just hang your way.
I would love to find out what that was. My one idea, and the other idea I had with my this is my friend like Stacy.
I would do it.
I would love to find out what America thinks I am.
Really?
Scale 1 to 10. Yeah, fuck yeah.
You know what you are. You're a 4.
I'm a hard 6.
Sorry.
You're not a 4.
If you just see me walking down the street, I'm probably a 6. If you meet me and I get to talk to you, I go to an 8 easy.
No.
You
don't include that. You're not allowed to include that.
Oh, so you're just talking looking at them?
Yeah, it's all it ever is.
So what do you think you are? Wait, let's do this in the room.
They'd have to take pieces of paper. We need an accountant of some sort, and I'm not doing it because I'm already here. Racist.
That and the other one is I wanted to get a website called New Stereotypes.
Yeah.
So people could just log in what they found to be new stereotypes, like black people don't kayak. And then people could vote on them and go, that's actually accurate, or no, that's not accurate.
That's funny.
So you put up all these new, brand new stereotypes and brand new things you notice about people, and then you can vote on them.
Yeah.
What are some new stereotypes that you've noticed?
Okay. I wish I definitely could edit this out. This is true, and I wish there was a black person in here to back me up. Ask Donnell later.
I know other black people.
No, but no, Donnell's the one I just ran into. The one. Wow, what the fuck am I saying? I noticed this, and you'll if you pay attention, you'll notice it as well. Black people have the ability to fall asleep anywhere. They fall asleep very easily. Case in point, that fucking luggage handler who passed out in the cargo hull of an Alaskan airliner.
No way.
And didn't wake up until they were cruising altitude. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
That fucking guy just fucking, who the fuck?
And he started.
In a fucking luggage hull and just. And fucking falls asleep. I mean, of all the places, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll pass out on these train tracks. But I used to say that on my shows and stand-up. It was a joke I had, but it was like a stereotype I noticed. Common, the rapper, we were in Chicago. He fell asleep on the tarmac, went through fucking like horrific turbulence. Sound asleep. We land in LAX. I've already taken Xanax, drank, written in my last will and testament. I have fucking panicked this whole flight. We land, and the land jolts him, and he goes, have we taken off yet? I was sitting right next to him. I go, are you fucking kidding me?
That was pills. That's for sure pills.
No, I don't think Common's. I think Common's clean.
No, everybody's on pills.
Yeah. So that was my brand new stereotype.
It's Tripoli had one on his album, Black People Cross the Road Very Slowly.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
This
and then
is
everyone
just...
makes that reaction, and then he says, fine, I hope, I pray that you get stopped at a red light right before the Million Man March, and we'll see how you feel then.
I always jog across the street.
Really?
Yeah.
To pick it up for people.
Like, if I'm crossing the street, and I see someone coming, I jog across the street.
That's nice of you.
Like, you start, you're like, hey.
Yeah, that's annoying when people do, like, the Walking Dead shuffle as they're crossing the street. Like, what are you doing?
I know you have the right of way, but you don't have to abuse it.
Yeah.
What a small amount of power to abuse.
It's so cool.
The right of way.
I think
it's powerless human beings. It's powerless human beings who walk slowly across the street. And I know this. And it's people are getting it, taking it every fucking angle in their life. They're just taking the dick. And that's their one moment
of power. Now you wait for me.
Now I make the calls, big guy.
Yeah.
Fucking guy did that to me one time, and I honked at him, and I scared the shit out of him. Because it was right by the tar pits. And I was turning left in to go into the museum, like turning left to go off of 3rd and he or 6th, and he was crossing the street, and he was he had adult braces. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember his color, but I do remember he had adult braces because I remember when I honked, I scared him. He was like, fuck you. And then I was like, fuck you. And he's like, come here, tell that to my face. So I stopped the car and threw it in reverse. And I was like, wait, am I ready to fight? I don't think I'm stretched. I'm not totally ready to fight. And the guy came right up to my window and I saw adult braces. And I was like, I'm not fucking with that. And I took off.
Nice. You got him out of the way, though.
Yeah.
Fucking juked him. Nice. Made him go to the left. You fucking took off. Good move.
Yeah, you got to be careful, man. I mean, that's dangerous. Like, do you remember when that guy got on bath salts and chewed that guy's face off on the bridge? Like, everybody forgot about that. But, you know, somebody is walking across a bridge and probably sassed this guy. Was probably like, hey, can you hurry up or whatever? And the guy ate his face off.
Yup.
I don't know if you guys knew that this happened. Remember when that happened? Everyone just forgot. He chewed someone's face off.
For a while, people thought that might be the zombie thing.
Yeah, the beginning of a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. Let's research this.
Yeah, I probably could chew someone's face.
Didn't they shoot that guy?
What?
Didn't they shoot that guy?
I don't know. I think
he's in jail. Yeah, I remember them did. No, they went to get him. They might have got, but they were like, get away. And he's like, I've already chewed his face off. They're like, get away, because I'm not going to stop eating. And they're like, get away. And then they shot him. I'm not saying he deserves a lot of mercy, but like he already had his face ate. What
You're saying just
do?
Let him keep eating?
No, detain him without the gun.
Oh. Just let him eat. He's taking the guy down. Yeah, he's done a lot of hard work.
You got to interrogate that guy.
Maybe he was just like, no, this guy was already dead. It was already half eaten. I just continued it. And you're not going to find out because you're so fucking
I don't think the guy was dead. I think he just ate his face off.
Oh my God, the guy survived.
Like the chimp. Oh. Remember when the chimp ate the lady's face off?
Yes.
I heard she's a model now.
Shut up.
Jesus Christ, Ari.
How can there be people that don't like comedy? Like that see what we do and go and get offended? It's such a beautiful fucking thing to giggle, to have that reaction where you just giggle. I worked with a chimp one time. And they put him on my shoulders, and the thing was, he was going to be on my shoulders. We were playing video games, and I'd be playing, and then he'd be playing above me. It was like for a photo. It was for like a promo or something for this video game show I was doing. And they put the chimp on, and he got on my shoulders, and I felt him lock on. I felt him lock. Like feet. You felt the dexterity of the feet grab onto my tits, and then with his hands, he grabbed both my ears, and I went, And I started like aping it up for the camera a little bit because I was scared, but I was being like more scared. And I looked at the trainer who was really fucking scared. And he was like, okay, all right, everyone, here we go. Come on, Champer. Or whatever the guy's, come on, Champer, let's go. And then got the chimp off me. And I jokingly said to the guy after, I go, that was fucking scary. And he was like, oh, you have no idea. What? And I was like, what? And he goes, something spooked him. He was going to, you know, that could have ended really badly. And I was like, really? I was like, well, how badly? He goes, well, when chimps attack, they usually start with your genitals or fingers. And I was like, what the fuck? And he's like, yeah, it's really bad. And I was terrified. I was like, I'll never work with a fucking chimp again.
Can I tell you my chimp story?
Please!
I work with a chimp, too. And before I worked with a chimp, the guy I was working with was like, look, I'm telling you, you don't want to work with a chimpanzee. They're dangerous. It's like being around a lion. It's the same thing. Just don't – we can figure out another way to do it. But I wanted to get this shot – of me playing chess with a chimpanzee, and it's wearing some kind of computer readout and beats me at chess. Just some dumb intro to this pilot we were shooting. So we find a chimp, and we had to find a low budget chimp because we had it was like a really it's a pilot presentation. They don't give you a lot of money, so like we found like a Craigslist chimp, and the trainer comes. And the trainer comes with like his wife or something, and they got this chimp, and it's cute. Man, it's cute. It's like wearing overalls and looks so sweet. And the chimp comes in, and we're all sitting around, and there's the chimp, and the trainer very calmly is like, so I'm just going to tell you a little bit about, I don't remember what his name was, but it's like a cute chimp named like Simon. Like, we'll tell you about Simon. Simon is the strongest being in the room right now. Simon has a lot of power, and if Simon comes up to you, don't be scared. Don't act scared. He's probably just interested in who you are and wants to say hi. So don't make any fast movements around Simon. Now, as he's talking,
shit.
As he's talking, I'm watching his wife look at Simon. And she's clearly nervous. And the trainer is starting to get like weird sweat on his forehead as he's talking. And as the chimp came in, I remember, as the chimp came in, as he's walking, like they hold its hand, with its other hand, it's pounding the floor, like hitting the floor as hard as it can. So all the way walking, it's like, bam, bam, bam. So we get this shot. I'm sitting across from the chimp. The chimp's looking at me. It doesn't like the thing on its head. It seems to know. I'm projecting that it knows I'm the one that said. So the chimp is like getting mad, and it's baring its teeth, and it's looking at me. And I'm alone with the. There's no one who's stopping this chimp if it decides to do a face eating moment with me. Like, yep. Nothing's going to get in the way of it. No one's going to stop it. And something broke in the chimp's mind, and it just like, it screams like a banshee shriek at me.
Oh, fuck!
It jumps up midair. The trainer runs and tackles the fucking chimp. Holy the chimp shit. Bites the trainer on the nose. The trainer's nose is bleeding now. He like pushes himself up. His wife is looking at him like, I told you this wouldn't work. And blood's dripping down. He's like, it's okay. We can do this. We'll just get the shot. But it was that dangerous. Like, I was.
You did it?
What?
You did it?
Fuck no, we didn't do it, man. That was it. We used what we had. There's a video somewhere of me almost getting attacked by a chimp. Like, you can see the look of just terror in my face. Never work with a monkey. Never, ever work with a monkey. They're very strong. And also, they're super smart, and it's not cool to, like, keep one trapped like that.
Now, can I ask you a question? Yeah. You know how you sit in Switzerland, that the whole thing opens up, and that's an epiphany, and you have to look back to when you're a kid, thinking, like, did I ever think I'd get here? Do you guys have that when you're working with a chimp? It's out of control.
Yeah.
When I was a child.
Yeah. This is the dream.
I didn't imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Like, I get to be around a chimpanzee. It's beautiful.
I did a TV show, and they said that Kevin Nealon would do it too. Yeah. We dress up as penises, so we go into full makeup, and our body would look like a dick, and we'd have a dick head, and our face would be melded, but we could talk out of it. And so I go into hair and makeup, and I was like, this would be great. I get to work with Kevin Nealon and, like, do a sketch with him dressed as a penis, both of us. So I get dressed as a penis. I'm in hair and makeup for, like, fucking hours. I come out, and I look like a dick. I look like a dick. I'm veiny dick. And you can see my face, but it's, like, melded in. So I get on set, and I'm waiting, and I'm like, fuck, where's Kevin Nealon? And then Kevin Nealon comes out in jeans and a flannel. And I go, hey, what? How are you not going to get in hair and makeup? And he goes, I'm not fucking doing that. I went, what? And he goes, that's your career. This is my career. And I went, oh, fuck, this is where I'm at in my career. I dress up like a penis. And I told Kevin Nealon that, and he had no recollection of it. I was like, that's interesting. Oh. No, I won't work with animals anymore. I refuse to. I got mauled by a bull. I almost got fucked up by lions.
Hey, man, that's what they do.
They're fucking animals. I was on a horse. I got bucked off a horse in Costa Rica because I didn't know what I was doing. And you just try to hold on with your feet, and then that means go to them. So they fucking just, and I'm just like, motherfucker. So yeah, I don't fuck with animals. What's up?
I have to pee.
I think you got the light anyway, Art.
Are we done?
You can keep going. You're at an hour.
We're at an hour? Oh, that's pretty good. Well, go pee, and then we'll do real questions. If anyone has any questions, and then you can answer questions when you come back.
I agree with that.
Go pee. Does anyone have any questions they'd like to ask? All right, perfect. It was good talking to you guys.
You got
to
give him a chance. I bet someone has a question. You guys don't have any questions?
Anybody? There you go. Just shout it. You have a mic? Oh, fuck yeah. I told you I wasn't going to do this, didn't I? Awesome.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hi.
I'm a Montreal comic, and do you ever get awkward when people in a group will be like, oh, you're a stand-up comic, and then they like say something funny?
I usually just tell people I'm an abortion doctor. No, I don't.
Never get awkward at all? I love you, Duncan.
Like, yeah, but that doesn't I mean, when that happens, it's pretty easy. You just – it is awkward because you have to explain to them, oh, it just doesn't work like that. Like, I perform on stage. I'm not someone who's, like, constantly funny all the time. That would be so draining, you know. But I think they expect comedians to be, like – Jim Carrey in The Mask all the time or something. So yeah, rarely though do you get those moments, but when they happen you end up letting someone down, I guess, because they seem severely disappointed, but they obviously didn't know anything about comedy if they asked you that.
The bigger problem is that I find is that I don't mind, like, people go, oh, you're a comic? I go, yeah. They go, tell me a joke. I don't do that. And they go, what? And I go, I tell stories. And they're like, oh, okay. The bigger problem is that I've inherited from this business this vein of honesty and fucking hating bullshit. And so you end up hanging out with your friend's parents, your kid's parents, your kid's friend's parents, and smelling bullshit and getting angry. And then you're like, whoa, that doesn't fly in my community. Like, we don't lie like that. Like, you can't do that. Like there was a guy, I don't want to get too into this, but there was this guy who fucking went on this, like, liberal rant, but it was an ignorant liberal rant. He was explaining that the reason that he was trying to say that black kids don't play hockey, not because of equipment. I go, that's actually totally why they don't play hockey, because it's expensive as shit to buy all that fucking equipment. Now, I'm not saying black kids in general. I'm saying inner city kids. That's exactly why. And he goes, oh, you're telling me that's what – then why do they play basketball? I go, because you just need a basketball. And you don't even need a basketball. You need to know someone with a basketball, and you can play basketball. And there are fucking courts all over the inner cities. That's – exactly why. And I'm getting into a rant, and he's like, oh yeah, then tell me one thing, how do they fucking afford those $100 Jordans? And I go, oh, you don't know black people. I go, black guys don't play basketball in their fucking Jordans. They play basketball in basketball shoes, and then they wear Jordans to the fucking club. And then his kid walked in, and his adopted kid was black, and I was like,
oh shit. Oh.
And I was like, woo. My wife's like, can you just turn it off for a fucking second? Man. But that's the thing, is you get hooked on this bullshit monitor of, like, I can't. You know, my wife always says, you live in a weird subculture. And we do. We live in this very unique subculture where, like, If I'm at a party and someone pulls out a joint, I don't fucking freak out. My wife would be like, someone's smoking pot in here. All her friends would be like, what the fuck? But I live in a subculture where, like, Joey Diaz comes over to my house and with his kid, and our wives hang out with both our kids, and Joey's smoking what he calls Puerto Rican hamburgers, which is is weed with hash with weed on top of it. And that, but that's my friend. And so in a weird way, that's what fucks you up, is you're a part of this weird subculture where, like, we're like I mean, every single one of us has seen that guy fuck a horse.
Get Puerto Rican hamburgers, dog.
As if that explains it. As if just because he's named it, it becomes okay. Yeah. I was supposed to be like, oh yeah, of course.
It's a Puerto Rican hamburger, dog. Like, Joey called me today. This is a, but that's the weird culture you live in. Joey called me today. He goes, dog, I'm going to the weed store. I'm at your house to pick you up. And I'm like, I'm in Montreal. He's like, all right, never mind. Like, but like, that's, you know, like, and like, all of us have seen the video when the guy gets fucked to death by the horse. Like, very few regular people have seen that. Like very few people are like, but it's a weird, but that's the hang up, is you become a very different person as a comic and you don't connect with the fucking bullshit artists.
And the one, and it's weird because the one thing, if you really want to offend a comedian, the one thing that I know of that will offend a comedian is if you get offended at something they say, right? That's offensive. Offense itself is offensive to comedians. They really, like, if you, to me, I can't get past it. Like, if I realize I've offended a person by something I've said, it's really hard for me to forget that. But I want to be, like, empathetic and understand, but there's a part of me that's like, God damn it, you're just someone who, like, has a limit or a linguistic barrier that if I go past it, then you're going to think I'm a demon, even though the intention behind what I'm saying is not evil at all. It's just fun. It's fun to say certain sentences that really horrify some people.
Yeah.
And if you and it's just fun. I think people just somehow just forget that. They forget that if a comedian is doing a rape joke, that there is nothing nefarious behind it. There's no feeling of endorsing rape or thinking that an actual rape is a good thing. It's just certain words, when they line up together, seem funny. That's it. It's so simple and it's so harmless. But when you get around somebody who wants to lock you in that prison where you're not allowed to say certain things, if you're a comedian, it will activate a part of yourself that will intentionally begin to try to offend that person as much as you possibly can. In a very slow, torturous way, you'll just try to do it over and over and over. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I did. They had a school raffle at our kid's school for a wine raffle. I go up. I go, how much is the pot? And they go, the pot's $60. That's all it's been put in. I go, put me in for $150. And they're like, what? I go, put me in for the kids. Put me in for $150. I put $150 in. There's 12 prizes. I win 10 of them. My wife wins one, and my, right? On her own ticket. And then, and people got offended. People got offended. How dare you? And I went, no, 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 no. It's gambling. Okay, there are fucking rules.
How dare you what?
Anyone could have fucking put their money in. I didn't even use the shit. Like, I just got it all, and I was like, fuck. And so I just started going up to people that were offended. I couldn't let go of it. I couldn't let go that they were offended. So I kept going up to them going, hey, what did you get? What did you win? And they get fucking pissed.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I fucking looked at there's one guy in particular that that got really upset, and I look at him every fucking day and I just go, you're powerless to me. Like, I can fuck you up. Like, I can offend you. You can't offend me. He has nothing to do to he could never get me to be offended, but I could just say a few choice words and he'd be like, motherfucker! Like, just some fucking child on a playground, like, I don't know what to do with my emotions!
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyone have another question?
I got a question / TV pitch for you, Bert.
Oh, I fucking love these.
Okay, so, well, maybe not. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
I know Duncan's going to have fun. So, you know, with all the anxiety, I suffer from a lot of the same anxiety problems you do. Yeah. Right now, I'm shitting my pants. So, right? If you got clearance from travel and you got clearance from the wife and maybe even possibly make this a pitch so you actually got paid to do it by a program, would you let Duncan suggest different psychotropics for you to just get over all this?
Oh, I love that.
Wouldn't
that
be fun?
Great show, man. That would be so cool.
Dr. Duncan, MD.
Every episode, I give you... Well, you couldn't legally shoot it, though. That's the problem, right? Insurance isn't going to cover
that. Can we go somewhere, though?
Insurance would be a nightmare.
Didn't you pitch something to the Travel Channel of us going to South America to take ayahuasca, and they're like, no?
I said, I called Travel Channel. I go, this is a legit pitch. I go, me, Joe Rogan, Duncan, Ari, Joey Diaz, go down to fucking, all we want is a plane ticket to fucking Colombia or Brazil or wherever, and we're going to dig out our own canoe, and we're going to go find ayahuasca, and we're going to do it. I go, just film the whole fucking thing. And they were like, this is maybe the worst idea you've ever had. And they were like, we can't air that. That's not brand friendly. Like they, and I was like, but it seemed like such a great idea to fucking document that. But no one wants – I mean, you know, I also sent Amber Lyon over to them. And I was like, Amber is fucking genius. She's beautiful and she's fearless. I go fucking – and they took a general meeting with her, and they're like, well, you know, we can't really fuck around with psychedelics. You know, drugs are still – like drugs aren't – although once again, like we're in that subculture where all our friends do drugs. Tonight at that bar, everyone will be doing drugs. And we don't – it doesn't offend us. If you fucking – if someone said I'm going to do coke, I wouldn't be like, what the fuck? But like my wife and the rest of us society right. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Like you're – and but like that's the way – you know, I may choose not to do coke or fucking do drugs, but I don't get offended by it. But there are people that still get really up in arms about it. Dick Cheney.
The drug stuff? Yeah, like white people. You know, like straight down the line, people, they think everything's drugs.
I think it would be a great idea. I've always thought just to get rid of my anxiety that maybe that would help me, but you know, also it gives me a lot of anxiety thinking about
no, I hear you.
Taking ayahuasca and seeing a snake come after me at the jungle.
Like, how great would the reactions be though?
There'd be a lot of like, Duncan, I don't know if I'm liking this. What I'd like to do is have a doctor, like do it in like a, have like a MD. We'll get Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew. Yeah, we'll get Dr. Drew to go out there just to like take my vitals stuff. And then if you could give me a tap out pill where you're like, oh, by the way, if you're not liking this, just take this and it all goes away. I'd be like.
You mean a Cosby? Okay. Sorry. I did a Cosby joke. Dude, I'm sorry.
Doesn't it sound like that's what all fucking dudes did back then is just gave chicks quaaludes to fuck? I mean, Hugh Hefner did it, like, supposedly in this girl's book. She said that when he first met her, he goes, you want a quaalude? Like, apparently that's what guys did.
They offer people quaaludes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do it with booze now.
Well, yeah, but offering a person a quaalude is very different from, I think, what allegedly...
Sliding someone in someone's drink.
Yeah. Did you see that creepy barbecue sauce clip from the Cosby Show? Did you guys see that shit?
No.
That's one of the most chilling. It's an episode. And it basically Cosby's produced some kind of barbecue sauce or Huxtable has made a barbecue sauce. And his wife is like, God, everyone's so sweet. Everyone seems so nice and loving right now, and sort of pans around. And whoever's at the party is there's kind of kissing, like these couples are kissing. And in this weird, leering way, Cosby's like, it's my barbecue sauce. And she's like, what do you mean? He's like, the barbecue sauce. It's my special recipe. And it's like, that's his...
Like, makes when his you, daughter like jump on... Sandra jumped on Melvin or whatever his name was. And it was like they were like making out. And he's like,
wait, did he drug it?
Well, yeah. The implication in the episode is that Huxtable, who is a doctor and has access to medication, has put some kind of weird chemical in his barbecue sauce that sedated the people there. But really, theoretically, it seems like Bill Cosby was writing his fetish... Yeah. Into the Cosby Show.
That's art.
Which
that's
is drugging
artist.
People. And that's why Cosby's an artist.
You express yourself. You express
I
yourself.
I am offended.
In your art form.
That offends sitcom. Me.
God damn it.
He was pissed. That, wow, what a high level.
Yeah, that's pretty intense, right?
Yes.
It's very intense. I can't fathom. I really, and this is a bland statement, I can't fathom the type of human being that would do that. Like, I can't imagine that person really exists. That there's someone that thinks that.
Oh, yeah. And guess what?
Sleep at night.
He didn't think
of
that on his own.
Sleep at night.
Someone else told him how to do it.
What's that?
He didn't, like, think of that on his own.
Someone.
Yeah, you got the first guy in his line. It's like there's tons of those people out.
I can't. I mean, you know, I never once heard in college, and you know, I understand, but I never once had a friend that would ever have thought that was cool. Like, ever. I can't, like, so the fact that I know that that happens, but I can't imagine the person that can sleep at night.
But the fact that it's fucking Cosby, and the it's like it'd be like if Barney the dinosaur, if it came out that the purple dinosaur was, like, raping people. It's the same level of, like, Cosby? Not Cosby. Like, there's
Elmo.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Elmo coming out as, like, doping people. It's that same level. It can't be.
I kind of think I think Elmo did.
No.
That, right?
Elmo didn't. I don't think. I think the guy who did that.
I know it's not the puppet. It's the guy that runs the puppet that did it.
Yeah. Well, maybe him. I don't know. But I think Elmo's innocent.
What if he's like, hey, man, I put the puppet on, and the puppet's got a mind of its own. I can't help it. If he's fucking molesting kids, I can't stop him. Look at this. Oh, he's sucking this kid's dick. Oh, God. Elmo.
Elmo is like when Spider-Man turns into Venom.
Yeah.
Takes him over.
No, man, I think that guy actually, that didn't he, that was a bad, that was not real. I think he's innocent. I don't know for sure, but I remember
I don't know
reading
either, and I
somewhere.
Say that
yeah.
I shouldn't
so
say
I think
that
he's. I think he's not, I don't think he really did it for some reason. I remember it coming out, but I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, it's so weird to think that in Bill Cosby's mind, that was a normal thing to do, that you would just imagine, just like, the experience of coming to see fucking Bill Cosby's face hovering over you as his cock slides in and out of your asshole. That is something out of hell.
Well, wait, flip it for us. Like, imagine, okay, coming to and Roseanne Barr is just fucking you. And you're just like, hey, good morning. And you're like, the fuck is this? Because that's, I mean, I'm trying to think of our famous, because it would have to be a woman. Like, obviously, I'd be very upset if a guy was fucking me in the ass. I'd be like, oh, I'd be appalled. But, like, I'm trying to think, like, Brett Butler is just, like, sucking your dick, and she's like, good morning, and you're like...
You wouldn't care.
You wouldn't care as much.
I saw Brett Butler recently.
You thought about it? You thought about it?
Can I tell you, I've always wanted to fuck Brett Butler.
Wow.
I saw her recently. She looks great. I saw her at Good Morning America, and I fucking lost my shit. I was like, oh my God, I'm a comedian. My name's Bert. I know David talked to me. I kind of went off on her. She was like, oh, hello. How you doing? I always wanted to get drunk there. Can I tell you what? I always wanted to fuck, really? That sounds aggressive, but Janine Garofalo.
I see her all the time now in New York.
What?
She's still pretty hot, man.
She is hotter still pretty now hot. Than she's ever been.
She was in the back, like at the stand, and right inside the curtain, and so it was kind of dark in there. I get off stage, and I see this short girl with, like, you know,
great,
like, dyed black
hair
and, like, some tats. And I'm like, yeah. What the fuck is this? And she's smiling at me. I'm like, yeah, comedy's working out. And then it was like, hey, how are you? I was like, oh, hey, how are you, ma'am?
Ma'am, all right.
Hello, somebody.
Her last hour special was fucking awesome.
Really?
I've always been attracted to her.
How long ago? Yusuf would do it, too. We talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
That type. It's that type.
If I woke up and Janine Garofalo had roofied me, does that mean get off? Okay, if maybe that's the Lord telling me not to say this thought. if I woke up and Janine Garofalo roofied me, I'd be like, please tell me I came inside you. That's horrible. I want to have a baby with you. I'm fine. I have a massive crush on her. She'll never hear this, and she'll never speak to me ever in real person.
She's not even on email.
What?
She's not even on email.
She doesn't have emails?
No way.
She doesn't do phone at all.
Wow.
Cell phone at all.
She's what is off. That? Is that like a...
I don't know.
That's what it's like to be deaf and blind, I guess.
Yeah, she's gone. She's off the grid.
She still looks hot as shit. How old do you think she is? 50?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
This man, you know, this is what I call a strong close to a podcast.
This is the reason I don't do live podcasts. I'm already thinking of all the shit I have to edit out of this fucking podcast. Oh, well, I appreciate it. You guys...
That sounded leery.
What?
All that Janine Garofalo talk.
I know.
Sure, it did.
It feels creepy. It's like a different way of catcalling her. It's like just talking about how hot she is. And I'm sure she's going to get offended by this. She'll be like, no, she's not going to fucking hear it. I'm not even going to post this. All right. fuck, I'm going to post just the beginning, and they'll be like, and that was the show. The sadly, the dumb French people in Canada didn't know how to hit record. They hit pause and then fucking c'est la vie. Thank you guys for coming out. I appreciate it. Thank you, Duncan. Thank you, Ari.
Thanks, you guys.
You do any shows tonight?
No, but tomorrow night I'm going to be doing an hour of stand-up in here, and then I'm doing my podcast in here Friday at 10:30 with you.
With me.
As my guest, and Andy Kindler.
And I'm a much better guest than I am host. Ari Shaffir is doing...
Storytell Show tonight that you're going to be on.
Yep.
Thursday night at midnight also, and Saturday night at midnight, and then solo show tonight and Saturday. And, you know, try to find some mushrooms while I'm out here, maybe. Hang around.
All right, we put that out there. All right, can you say goodbye in French or something?
Au revoir, à la prochaine.
Thank you.
Good night, you guys.
I know you. I know you. Oh, shut the fuck up. This episode was brought to you by The Machine.